Mem Amid Beis, about 15 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, the line starts with Shel Tinok, Nichves, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Pamachas Nichnasti Acher Rebbe LeBeis HaMerchatz, and we're talking about Chami Tveria, Ubikashti Laniach Pach Shel Shemin Bambati, V'Omer Li Tolba Klisheni. So this is the last Gemara that we discussed on in yesterday's Shia Shmami Notlas, from the fact that Rebbe instructed Rebbe Yitzchak to take the Shemen, this jug of Shemen, into a Kli Sheni, meaning take the water out of the Chamei Tveria and put it into a second Kli, we derive three conclusions. Shmami Not, Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul. Rebbe would not allow Rebbe Yitzchak to take the Shemen in a Kli Rishon, because even Shemen is subject to Bishul, even though, again, we've said in the past that that's a big issue. According to many, Shemen does not lend itself to Bishul. There's no real structural change, nothing totally radical or profound or far-reaching in cooking Shemen. It doesn't really change much. But Rebbe's of the opinion that Shemen in a Kli Rishon would be a violation of Bishul. Shmami no Kli Sheni ain't a Mavashil, but in a Kli Sheni that's not called Bishul, and Shmami no Hefshero Zeu Bishulo, that if you took the Shemen in a Kli Rishon and you put it in a place where it could come to Bishul, if it was left there for a long enough time, and all you did was take out the chill, that itself would be prohibited on Shabbos. Then the Gemara wants to know, how is it possible that Rebbe gave these instructions to Rabbi Yitzchak in a bathhouse? We don't speak Divrei Torah in a bathhouse. In fact, we're not allowed to even think about Torah matters in a bathhouse, and certainly not in a Beis HaKisei. That's even more chamur. And the Gemara tries, if you remember from yesterday's discussion, to differentiate between speaking in Lashon Kodesh, which is prohibited, but not in a secular language. And the Gemara quotes Abaye that there's no difference, even if you speak Dvarim Shel Kedusha, Divrei Torah, in a foreign language that's prohibited in a bathhouse, in a Beis HaKisei. And the Gemara came up with the principle of Lafrushe Mesura Asur. To speak about Torah in a bathhouse is unacceptable, but if you want to tell a person that he's about to violate some sort of an avera, then you can tell him and warn him in a Beis HaKisei, Beis HaMerchatz. Teda, and the Gemara proves it from a statement of Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel regarding a story of a Talmud of Rabbi Meir who went into a bathhouse. He wanted to wash the floor of the bathhouse, and Rabbi Meir said, we don't do this on Shabbos. Then the student wanted to smear the floor with some sort of fragrant oil, and Rabbi Meir instructed him in the bathhouse that this is prohibited on Shabbos. So we see clearly that if you want to prevent someone from violating an avera, that you're allowed to do and speak about it even in a bathhouse. And so too, Rebbe, when he was instructing Rabbi Yitzchak about taking the Shemen in a Kli Sheni, he wanted to make sure that he wouldn't transgress the Aveir of Bishul with regard to the Shemen. And we discussed Omer Avina, the statement of Avina, that HaMavashel B'chami Tveri B'Shabbos Chayev, from the fact that Rebbe instructed Rabbi Yitzchak that he should not take the he should not put the jug of Shemen into Chamei Tveria, because that would involve a violation of Shabbos law of Bishul on Shabbos. We see that the waters of Chamei Tveria are considered waters of what we call Toldas Sa'ar, and there's Bishul in Toldas Sa'ar. The Gemara points out that the story here of Rebbe was Li'achar Agzera, after the decree against Zeya, against even steam bathing on Shabbos. And apparently, this Gzera would not apply in the case of Chamei Tveria. So assuming, as we said earlier, the story of Rebbe took place after the Gzerah, Chacham already instituted a decree to prohibit bathing and steam bathing. They only were Mati Rechitza in Chamei Tveria. And the Gemara said back on Daf Mem Amud Aleph that they allowed Chamei Tveria. So it means that this Beis HaMerchatz into which Rebbe entered in order to bathe was Chamei Tveria. And Al Mi Chamei Tveria Elu Amarlei, with regard to Mei Chamei Tveria, Rebbe said to Rabbi Yitzchak Tol B'Klisheni that you should take the shemen into a klisheni, put it into a klisheni to warm it up, but to put the shemen into an abati, which would be kli rishon, that would be also because of bishul shemen. And we see clearly that there is bishul in Chamei Tveria. And if somebody would use Chamei Tveria directly to cook something, and in this case going to Rebbe even shemen, he would be chayev, he have to bring a kapara for that. And so just to remind ourselves, if we look on the bottom of Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the Gemara says Asulem Chamei Tveria, but Rosh Ein Adover Omid Lehem, and therefore he tiru lahem Chamei Tveria. So at the end, because they saw that the people were not able to, shall we say, live up to this injunction, therefore they allowed them to bathe in the waters of Tveria. So that's on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. Now getting back to our Gemara on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us v'omer lahem Amalei Tol B'Klisheni V'Tein, and it means that he would not allow Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi to heat up or warm up the flask of oil in the bath itself of Chamei Tveria, because cooking applies even to the heat of Chamei Tveria, and that's Bishul, which we call Toldos Ha'or. But nevertheless, as we said before, bathing was mutter. So Gemara asks, Eini, is it really so that you can violate a meleches bishul doraisa with heating something up in Chamei Tveria? V'omer Rav Chisda mevashel b'Chamei Tveria b'Shabbos potur. My chayev nami deka omar is makas mardus. So we accept Rav Chisda that bishul in Chamei Tveria is not a violation, and we're going to define Chamei Tveria not as toldos ha'or, but rather as toldos ha'chama, and we're going to assume that toldos ha'chama is only a gzera dirabanan. That's the Shita of the Chachamim back in our Mishnah. And we're not going to assume that the water of Chamei Tveria is heated up by the Eish El Gehenna, which would make it into Tol Psa Eish, and it would be Bishul Doraisa. And that means we're accepting Rav Chisda. And the question is, Ravina had been quoted as saying that Mevashel B'Chamei Tveria is Chayav. Omer Avina, Shmamina Mevashel B'Chamei Tveria B'Shabbos Chayav, that's Chayav Makas Mardus. That's only for violating an Isur D'Rabbanan of Toldos HaChama. And now we're up to Omer Rab Zera, and this is on the bottom of Daf Mem Amud Beis. Anocha Zise Rabbi Avo, I can testify that I saw Rabbi Avo deshot be'ambati. He was floating in a bathtub that was bekarka, that was in the ground, on Shabbos, and we're not sure what water would fill up this bathtub, whether it was cold water, whether it was hot water, maybe water from the Chamei Tveria, but in any event, he was floating. V'lo yadana i'okar i'lo okar. I wasn't sure as to whether or not he lifted his feet off the ground and actually floated on the surface water of this bathtub on Shabbos, or maybe he never lifted up his ground, his feet off the ground, he never really floated on the surface. And the nafkamina is whether or not you're allowed to float in a small pool. And the Gemara says, Pshita lo okar. Certainly we have to assume that he never lifted up his feet from the ground, the sign because we have a brisa, lo yoshid odom bibrecha malea mayim afilo medes bechotzer, that swimming was prohibited by virtue of a shvuster abanon, even in a pool of water, even if the pool is located in his backyard, which means that if the pool is open in a Rishus HaRabim, certainly we prohibit swimming in this kind of public outdoor pool, because he might splash water outside the pool, and it goes from Rishus HaYochin to Rishus HaRabim, and he would be violating Meleches HaTzah. Our Bryce is teaching us that even if the pool is in Rishus HaYochid, and there's certainly no chashash of Hotzah, because even if the water splashes out of the pool, it goes into the Rishus HaYochid, nevertheless, it's forbidden to swim. And that's a separate shvus of schia, of swimming. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. You wonder why Rabbi Zera vacillated back and forth. Did Rabbi Avo float or did he not float? The answer is, when the Braisa prohibits swimming in a pool, the Lesle Gidude, we're on the top of the Daf Mem Aleph, Omen Aleph. The pool does not have what we call Gidude. In the Ran, he says in the Hebrew translation, She'en la brecha ke'en k'solim saviv. This swimming pool does not have some sort of surrounding walls. Ela hakarkois, mashpas, mishupas, viola ad lesfas habrecha. Sheba ofen ze domahu hi linahar, viosur loshut ba. So what this means is that the walls around the brecha, around this tub, are not erected walls in such a way that the water near the outside of the outside lip of the bathtub are deep water, and that would mean that the water is deep on the outside, just like it is in the middle of the tub, but rather the ground, the floor of this tub, is mishupas. It's on an incline, and it goes up. In such a case, that it means that in this area that's close to the outside lip of the tub is samach l'sfas habrecha, ein amayim amukim kib emtza'a. So there's more deep water in the middle of the tub, and the water on the outskirts of the tub is shallow water. And in such a case, there's a certain similarity to a river, and this tub is included in the gzera of swimming. But the story of Rabbi Avo was a tub, the Isle Gidude, and it has these walls, fences that surround it. And it's not similar to a river, but rather it's similar to a receptacle, a kli. And therefore it's not included in the Gzeres Chachamim of the Iser Loshut B'mayim B'Shabbos. The Rosh actually paskins halacha that in this case, it's mutter, you're allowed to float on the top of this bathtub. and we view it more like a kli, and it's not doma l'nar, it's not included in the original gzera. So let's just summarize what we're saying. In a case where the pool does not have these ksolim around it, then it is very similar to a nahar. And in that case, just one second, in that case, the brisa will forbid swimming in this kind of a pool. But the incident in which Rabbi Zerah thought that maybe Rabbi Avo was floating in an in-ground tub, that involved a case where there was no ksolim on the outside, no rim. In fancy English, it's called an embankment. And a pool that has no rim, the Les Lake Yedude, is similar to a lake, and is included in the Gzeret Rabban of the Isur Loshut, the injunction against swimming, which was enacted out of concern that a person might make a lifesaver, preserver. And that gzera applies primarily to swimming in natural bodies of water, but was extended to pools that have no gedudi, that have no embankments. A pool that has a rim or an embankment is more similar to a portable tub. We called it a kli. And you're allowed to swim in a kli. There's no concern in a kli that he might make a life preserver. And Rabbi Zerah saw Rabbi Avo, and it looked to him apparently that it was floating in this in-ground tub that had a rim. It occurred to him that Rabbi Avo may have lifted his feet, floated, and that would be permitted, be mutter. The Gemara now asks the following, the Gemara quotes another statement regarding Rabbi Avo when he bathed. And Rabbi Zerah again had a suffix. Om Rabbi Zerah, Anoch Hazisei, the Rabbi Avo, I observed Rabbi Avo, Shiniach Yodov, Kenegin Ponev Shel Mata. So this has to do with another subject, not related to Shabbos per se, and whether or not a person is permitted to have a direct touch of his privates. And that might arouse a person. He might have an erection, and he might come to a seminal emission, which was a sin of Hashchas Hazer Levatola. So Rabbi Zerah said, I saw Rabbi Avo when he was bathing in the river, and he niach yodav keneged panav shomata, means he put his hand over his genital area, his private area, out of modesty. But lo yadan, I didn't know, inoga ilonog, did he actually touch the organ or did he not touch the organ? So Gemara says, well, what kind of question is that? Pshita de lo noga. Because Tanya, we have a brisa, Rabbi Lezer Omer, kala oches bi'ama, if a person, even while he's urinating, umashtin, and he holds on to his member, is ki'ilu mevi mabul yolam. So you're not allowed to do so. And it might, again, as we said before, lead to Ashchas Azer Levatola. Om Rabaye, Asa'u Kivoleshes. That the case of Rabbi Avo was considered like a Boleshes. Boleshes is a troop of mortars, of soldiers. In the Hebrew translation, it's a gedud b'shas milchama, a brigade of soldiers. And desnan, we have a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Masechta Avodah Zarah. It says that boleshes shenichnaso le'ir. So we have this troop of soldiers that entered into the city. B'shas Shalom, if it was peacetime, Chavios, Psuchos, Asuros, and Stumos Mutaros. The question is whether or not we should assume that the Goyim, these soldiers, may have touched the Yayin. So we have different kinds of barrels. We have, or I should say, maybe not different types of barrels, but different time periods. If it's a period of peace, and the Chayalim therefore have plenty of time on their hands, they're not involved in any warfare, then if we have open barrels, it's going to be considered as Yayin Nesach, which means that maybe these soldiers actually took the wine in the barrels and poured them as a libation for their deities, which would make the Yayin Osir Banah. Chovios Stumos, if however the barrels are locked or closed, the lid is tight, then Mutaros, then you're allowed to drink the wine. We have no suffix, we have no chashashia that the goyim may have touched the wine. We don't assume that maybe they touched the wine after they opened the barrel and then they closed the barrel again. That's too much of a tircha for them. But Mishas Melchama, when the soldiers are very preoccupied with warfare, is Elu V'Elu Mutaros. We can assume even if the barrels are open that the soldiers did not have time. Lefi she'ein p'nai l'naseh. They didn't have any time, free time in their hands to use this wine as a libation. Let's just see how he translates the word menasche. Oh yes, he translates this as libation. So it means when a person is frightened, then he's focused on something that would distract him. He doesn't have time for Avodah Zorah. Hachanami, the Gemara makes an analogy in the case of Rabbi Avo. He's bathing in a river. Came into Boyis. He's frightened. You know, whenever you bathe in a river, you have to be very, very careful. It's very dangerous. So he's in a state of Boyis. He's very frightened. He's distracted. Lo asi lehure. We don't have to worry that he might come to the wrong thoughts by touching his male member and become aroused. So Rabbi Zera thought, therefore, maybe it's possible that Rabbi Avo touched his male member while he was covering his genital area out of tznius. So the Gemara says, V'hochamai b'yasusa, in the case of bathing, what exactly is the fear? B'yasusa dinar, the fear of drowning in the river. So the Gemara now questions Rabbi Avo and his behavior from a slightly different perspective. Eini, is it so that Rabbi Avo was covering his lower parts while he was bathing? V'amar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Huna Omar Rav, kol miniach yodov kineged ponav shel mata ki ilu kofer bebriso shel Avraham Avinu. Then a situation where a person is bathing, he's naked, and then he tries to cover his lower parts, it's as if he's embarrassed about his circumcision. He's kofer bebriso shel Avraham Avinu. So this is not exactly the place and the time for modesty. So how could it be that Rabbi Avo was busy covering his lower parts? And the Gemara says, Lo kasha, haki nochis, haki solik. There's a difference between one who's going down into the river and one who's going up on his way up from the river. On his way down, he is not facing the public. His back is towards the public. And therefore he doesn't have to be so concerned about tznius, about modesty. Nobody's watching him. But Kisolik, when he comes up, and he really faces the public, and now he's naked, he has to worry about modesty. He has to cover his privates. And if there's no requirement of modesty on his way down, which is called kinochis, then it seems like an expression of disdain for the circumcision. On the other hand, when he's on his way up and it's public, that's already a different consideration. That's an expression of modesty, of tznius. Ki hada Rava. Now the Gemara tells us a story about Rava. Shachi. When he was going in and out of the river, he would bend down. And by bending his body, he would conceal his private areas. Rabbi Zeira Zakiv. Rabbi Zeira would stand straight. He didn't want to be accused of being ashamed of his milah, of his circumcision. Rabbanan to Bei Rav Ashi, but we find a kind of a compromise with regard to the Rabbanan in the Beis Medrash of Rav Ashi, Kikad Nachis, when they went down into the river Zakvi, they would stand straight. Because once again, they didn't have to be overly ashamed, overly modest. But Kikas Salki, when they were on the way up, and now their private parts would be exposed to the public, Shachi, they would bend over their bodies. So Rava and the Rabbanan of Bei Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi's academy, would bend over rather than cover the lower part of the face. They didn't accept Abaye's analogy to the case of the soldiers who wanted to avoid the possibility of they would want to avoid the possibility of touching that part of the body. And Rava would bend over out of modesty even when he's walking towards the river, because he didn't consider that an expression of disdain for the circumcision, for the milah, like covering it over with his hand. The Rabbanan of Bei Rav Ashi, they reflected a compromise, like we described earlier, that when they were walking towards the river, they would stand tall. When they were turning up from the river towards the public, they would bend over out of tznius. And now, the Gemara is going to quote another story, and it's going to teach us something about bathing. That's the topic here, about bathing, different aspects of rechitza. Rabbi Zeri Havakom Mishtamit Mid Rabbi Yehuda Deboi Lemesach Li Ara Deyisrael. Rabbi Zeri would try to avoid having any encounter with Rabbi Yehuda, because his intention, Rabbi Zeri, was to settle in the land of Eretz Yisrael, to leave Bavel. And he knew that Rav Yehuda's Rebbe was opposed to it. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Kala Ola Mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael Over B'Ese. Anyone who makes Aliyah from Bavel, which was the center of Torah at that time, would violate the Ese. Shenema, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Bavela Yuva'u V'Shama Yihu. They shall be brought to Babylonia, and there they shall remain. At the end of the pasuk, let me just read the entire pasuk. It says, "Ad yom pokdiosam veha alisim vashivosim elamokom hazeh." So the pasuk indicates that it's prohibited for Klal Yisrael, on their own initiative, to make aliyah before Hashem would be poking them. And Rabbi Zera therefore was afraid that if he met Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda would decree that he would not go, he would not be allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Amar, so Rabbi Zera said the following, Ezil v'eshma minei milsa. Rabbi Zera was about to leave to Eretz Yisrael, but he said, you know, let me listen and hear from Rabbi Yehuda one last thing, the Esei v'esek, before I go on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Ozil v'ashkeche dekoi bei bani. So Rabbi Zera found Rabbi Yehuda standing in the bathhouse. V'ka'omale l'shamei, and he was telling his servant in Lashon Kodesh, he was speaking to him, Haveli neser, bring me a certain kind of a shampoo so that I can wash my hair. Neser, he says here, is min adama levana, some sort of white soil, or maybe it's made of stone, and it's used to shampoo the hair. And we'll actually see this later on in the Gemara Daf Nun. It's also used, by the way, to spiffy up kalim, different utensils. And havili masreik, bring me a comb so that I can comb my hair. And then Rabbi Yehuda added in Aramaic, he says, Pischu pumaychu vafiku havla. Open your mouths so that the hot air of the bathhouse could enter into your mouth, v'yotzi es hevel azeah, and it'll bring out the sweat from your body. And furthermore, v'ishtu mimaya debei bani, drink some of the water from the hot springs, the maim chamim, where you're bathing. And even though the water, let's say, so we're not talking about hot springs now, but the water that was prepared for rechitza, you could also drink from that. And Rabbi Zera was very, very impacted by these statements that he overheard Rabbi Yehuda instructing his assistant. When he told his assistant to bring him this material for shampooing his hair, bring him a comb, open your mouths, inhale the steam, and that'll cause you to sweat, and that'll discharge the heat from your body, and drink the water of the bathhouse. So while you're bathing in heated water, drink some of the hot water, even though the water is water that was heated up for the bath. Rabbi Zeir said, Il mole lo bossi el lishmo dvar zedaye. Had I only come to hear this statement, the instruction of Rabbi Yehuda to his assistant, that would have been enough for me, because I learned many, many things from Rabbi Yehuda's words. So the Gemara analog, Bishlema, heviu neser, heviu masrek, bring me the soap and bring me the comb. Is I can derive from that Dvarim Shel Chol Mutal Yomrom B'Loshon Kodesh, that even though these were secular matters, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda spoke to his Shammai, to his assistant, in Loshon Kodesh. You're allowed to speak secular matters in Loshon Kodesh. Apparently there was a Hava Mina that the holy tongue should be designated exclusively for holy matters and not used for secular matters. So Rabbi Yehuda started with Loshon Kodesh. At some point, he switched to Aramaic, because when he gets to health-related information, which he wanted to convey even to unlearned people who did not know Loshon Kodesh, he would express himself in the vernacular in Aramaic. And Pischu Pumaichu Vafiku Havla Nami, there's also a chiddush, an insight into these words, open your mouth, inhale the steam, so that you'll sweat, discharge heat. Kiddush Shmuel teaches us the principle of Shmuel, Diomar Shmuel, Havla, Mafik, Havla. That heat drives out heat. In other words, if you inhale the hot steam in the bathhouse, it's going to help your body sweat out its own heat. Ella, but this is the part that we don't understand. Ishtu Maya de Bebani, drink from the waters of the bath. My mal yusa, what benefit do you have from drinking the waters of the bath? The Gemara answers, this sanya, ochal velo shosa achiloso dom. If a person eats and doesn't drink, his eating is like shedding his own blood. It's very unhealthy. Bezel tchilas choli meayin, it's the beginning of intestinal disorders. Ochal velo holach arba amos. If a person ate and he didn't walk at least 4 amos, is achiloso markeves. His food rots inside of him. Vizel tchilas reacha ra. This is the beginning of a bad breath. Hanitzach linakovov. He needs to relieve himself in a bathroom. Viochal, and he went ahead and ate without doing so. Is doma litanur shisiku al gabi efro. This can be compared to an oven that was heated over its old ashes. V'zeu tchilas reach zuama. It's the beginning of a bad odor, perspirational odor. Rochatz pechamim v'lo shasa meyem. If he bathed in hot water, he didn't drink from the hot water. Is doma l'tanur shisiku b'chutz. This is analogous to a case of an oven that was heated on the outside. V'lo isiku mibifnim. But it wasn't heated on the inside. So let's just read the note here regarding the case of a tanur shev'iru etzim etzlo mibachutz. So they were burning wood, logs, on the outside of the oven. What good is it until he puts the logs and creates a fire and a coal on the inside of the tanur? By bathing himself in hot water, he removes any sort of filth from the outside, but he hasn't yet removed any of the zuama that's inside his body. And now he's going to go on, but let's just take a minute to understand what's going on over here. Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that by drinking the water of the bathhouse, this hot water, is pischu pumayu vafiku havla sheli olam yei kol maisev shalom l'shem shamayim bi'afkshu mishtamish betanuge gufo lotei kavanoso l'tanug levad elurfuas gufo ulamodas priyoso achte nafsho sholetes l'saseg b'darki Hashem yisbarach. So everything has to be done l'shem shamayim. And I suppose what's implicit here is that it's not the tastiest water to drink necessarily from the hot bath water, but he wants to remove the zuamas gufo shem mibifnim. He writes here, based on the Gemara Pesachim, kli shahayibo isur v'nivla mea isur v'dofne ha-kli ein mo'el la-gi'ilo behesek mi-machutz. Certain types of utensils, if something osur, some non-kosher food, was absorbed into the walls of the kli, it's not enough to heat up the kli on the outside. You have to guarantee that the inside of the kli is also heated up. And so too, Adam Sherochets Bechamin below Lishtos Mehem, Ein Rechitzaso Mo'ila Lahotzi Azea Mi Shebegufo, but only the Zea on the outside of his body. Then he says, Rochats Bechamilonishtate Pitzonin, if he didn't rinse himself off in cold water after he took this hot bath. Dome is like barzel shichnisu la'ur, a piece of metal that he put into the hot fire in order to heat it up. Velochnisu litzonen. And after he heated up over the fire, he failed to cool it off in cold water. And mayim tzonenim, cold water, mechazkim is a barzel. They give a certain strength to the metal. And also a person who washes in hot water, he has to cool himself off in cold water, and that strengthens his body. Rochatz v'lo sach, if he takes a bath and he doesn't anoint himself with oil, is dome le mayim al gabi achovis. It's similar to pouring water on the outside of a barrel. The water never penetrates inside the barrel, and it doesn't do any good. In any event, what we learn from this brisa is that it's beneficial to drink hot water after bathing in hot water. That was the advice of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, I want to share with you a note here in the Hagos Yaivitz. He says there was water that was heated up for the purpose of rechitza, and Rabbi Yehuda advocated drinking from that water. But al tishtu mimayim shenosu liachar rechitza. He never advocated drinking the water in the bathtub after the rechitza, you know, leftover water, because aleim shaninu, we have a gemara in Horios on Daf Yud Gimel, sheshtiyosam mishakeches es alimut. if you drink of the water after you bathed in the water, that's going to cause cause you to forget your learning. Sheshosim mayim shehem kmo hacham and sheroches bahem. He meant to say that drink water that's similar to the water that you used for bathing, meaning it was prepared for bathing. And we don't have to worry about shichacha if you drink the water that was prepared for bathing. And hayushosim kisharochetzim mayim chamim she'eno me'amayim sharochetzim bohem. Clearly, not from the water that you washed your body in. The whole issue here about drinking hot water in a bathhouse where you have to make a bracha and maybe have to go out, or you don't have to make a bracha because you're only drinking it for health purposes, not for enjoying any benefit whatsoever from the drinking of the hot water. In this emphasis here on sicha, on anointing himself with oil after the rechitza, and he says that in the absence of that extra pu'ula of anointing yourself with oil after the bathing, that should be similar to a case of someone who wants to wash and clean a barrel, and he turns the barrel upside down. And again, the cleaning agents or the water is not going to penetrate and clean the inside of the barrel because the barrel is upside down. And here too, if a person doesn't do this anointing with the oil, then the rechitza is really just going to be like a very external rechitza. It's not going to be very successful. And rochatz v'lo soch meikaro, some say that the intention here of the brisa is to teach us that in order for the rechitza to be effective, he has to start with sicha. Others say, no, he has to end with sicha, with this anointing his body with oil. So we're now on the Mishnah here on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, on the bottom of the Amud, and the Mishnah is going to address a certain kind of a kli, which is a kli that has a receptacle, a base kibul. And in fact, it has a double base kibul. And this is called, in the language of the Mishnah, mulyar. And mulyar is a miliarium, which, as we said before, is a vessel used for heating water, consists of a large bowl for water that is surrounded by a narrow receptacle for coals. And this is a large vessel. We put water into it. In the other vessel, we put gecholim, we put coals. And we basically integrate, we combine these two vessels into one. And that's how we heat up water. The large bowl of water surrounded by a receptacle for coals. Now, these kinds of utensils were manufactured in different shapes or forms. Some had a receptacle, a base kibul for gecholim, and it was connected through the outer wall of the kli. The wall itself was not thick, and he would not leave it on a constant basis with gecholim, with coals that were active. And that's called a moliere. There was another kli, which is similar to the moliere, but it has very thick walls, and the fire would be burning constantly. Then there's another kli gadol, a large kli, which has a base kibul of gecholim, and that receptacle for the coals was actually attached to the bottom of the kli. And one of these kelim is called an antichi. The Mishnah is going to try to clarify the din of shtia, the drinking on Shabbos from the waters of these various kelim. So molior hagaruf, which means that they removed the coals from this vessel before Shabbos. Shosim emenu b'Shabbos. You're allowed to drink the water that's inside this vessel, in the receptacle of the vessel, on Shabbos, even though the water heated up to some extent on Shabbos from this vessel. And the reason for this is because this kli is eino mosif hevel. It doesn't jack up the heat level, and it doesn't intensify the heat. It only preserves the heat to make sure it doesn't cool off. However, by contrast, antichi, afal pisha grufa ein shosim imena. Even if you remove the coals, in the case of antichi, this is a very hot kind of a kli. It's mosif hevel, and therefore, we're not allowed to drink on Shabbos from water that was heated up in this antichi. And this antichi is something that we described before as a kli gadol. We said it was. Just review what we said before. It was similar to a Molière, but has, let's say, a thicker walls, and the fire is going there constantly. A lot of heat. And afal pi shegrufa, even if they cleaned out all the coals before Shabbos ein shosim imenu, we're not allowed to drink the waters that were inside this antichi. We cannot drink them on Shabbos, because again, this antichi continues to add heat to the water, even after you remove the coals. And the Gemara back on Daf Lamed Vav had presented at the very beginning of our chapter here a machlok shin chananin l'chachomim about leaving food before Shabbos Shehi on Akira that was Eino Garf Eino Kotuf. So such Akira adds heat to the fire, and yet Hananya allows you to leave food on it. So therefore the question we want to raise is, why should it be usur to leave water in an antichi, or in a moliar for that matter, in a case where the coals were not removed? We shouldn't be concerned with the fact that the coals weren't removed, because if we go like Hananya says that even without removing the coals, you're allowed to leave food there on Erev Shabbos. There's no Issur Shehiyah. And there are a number of different answers to this question. Possibly we're dealing with water that was not heated, like the food of what we call Ben Josoi before Shabbos. And Hananya would agree in this case that it's prohibited to leave the water on Akira if it adds heat, even if it's a Garofakata. And that has to do with the Isra Atmana. Alternatively, it could be that since the water is contained within this Kli, which is surrounded by coals, rather than being placed in a pot on top of the coals, therefore we govern it by the rules of Hatmana rather than the rules of Shehiya. And even Hananya is Moda that Hatmana, in the case of Dora Mosif Hevel, is forbidden. Hechi Domi Moliar Hagaruf. What's the case of this kli called a moliar, which is cleaned of its coals? Tana mayim mibifnim v'gechol mibachutz. The water is placed inside the vessel. The coals are on the outside of the vessel. And we suggested that maybe they were outside on the side of the vessel. Antichi, what's antichi? Rabba Amar bay. Let's just see. Bei Kiri, it's called a base Kiraim. Shechalala Kira Mechulok al Yidei Dofen L'shnei Chalolim. So the way he defines this antichi, it is a compartmental Kira. So the Kira, we said, had a compartment for water, and that was adjacent to the compartment for the coals. And the construction of Antichi is similar to that of the Moliar, which also has two compartments for water and coals. But the construction of the Antichi, despite the similarity, it's forbidden to leave water in the Antichi, even if the coals were shoveled out, because in contrast to the Miliar, the compartments of the Antichi were divided by a thick wall, and coal is burned in this compartment of the Antichi the whole week long. It's constant. I think we mentioned this earlier. So the dividing wall between these two compartments becomes very hot. It retains its heat. It adds heat to the water even after the coals were removed. And that's the story of Beit Kiri. Then we have Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar. He has a different interpretation of Antichi, and he says it's Beit Dudi, which is a two-tiered pot. It's a double-bottomed pot. It contains coals in the lower compartment, water in the upper compartment. Since the lower compartment is covered, the heat remains trapped in it even after the coals have been cleared away, and it therefore continues to heat up the water. So if we try to understand why we're not allowed to drink from the water in the Antichi, as opposed to the Muliar, we'll read here, Osel Ishtos V'namayim Shebetocha, Afal Pi Shidome L'Moliar, Mishum Shedefano Sakira Ovos. So the walls of this kind of a kira called Antichi are very thick. The whole week long they kept the fire going inside this Antichi. And the Tfanos, the walls are very, very hot. And that's called Mosif Hevel. So that even if you are Goref and you took out the coals, it still is Asur. And that's certainly what we called, in the language of Rabbah, Beit Kiri. Now, in the language of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Beit Dudi, he calls it Dud Gadol, Sha'osim Bo Shnei Shulayim, U'beinei Menichim Gecholim, V'amayim Nesunim Al Gabi HaShulayim HaElyonim. He's got a whole long, complicated description here of Rav Nachman Yitzchak's Beit Dudi. And again, as we said before, it would seem that in the case of Beit Dudi, we're talking about a kli that has two tiers to it, and even if the coals are removed, we're talking about a double-bottomed pot. So there are coals in the lower compartment, water in the upper compartment, and the lower compartment is covered, and the heat is trapped because it's covered. So that even after the coals are removed, the heat is trapped in, they continue to heat the water. So Gemara now compares Rama and Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak. Mandi omer Beit Dudi, kol shkein Beit Kiri. A Beit Kiri is even hotter than a Beit Dudi. Mandi omer Beit Kiri, avol Beit Dudi lo. According to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who says that even a Beit Dudi is Asur, how much more so in the case of a Beit Kiri? But Rabba would say the Beit Kiri is very, very hot, and therefore it's included in this prohibition, but he would not extend this prohibition to a Beit Dudi, which is not quite as hot. And again, if you want to emphasize why Beit Kiri is so hot, it's because the Dafanos are very thick and the fire goes constantly the whole week long. And that's why it's a Dovra Mosif Hevel. And even if you remove the Gecholim, nevertheless, it's Asur. Tanya Gavosei de Rav Nachman. We have a Braisa that seems to support Rav Nachman. Antichi, Afal Pisha Grufa Uktuma. In the case of an Antichi utensil, even though he took out the coals, Ein Shosim Imenu, we don't drink from its water, Mipnei Shenechushta Mechamamasa, which means the bottom of the kli heats it up. So it seems like Antichi is heated from the bottom. And that reflects the Shita of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And he says the following. He says, Ein Shosim Emena, this Antichi, we don't drink the water from it, even though, it's a grufa or a ktuma. And why is that nation nechushta mechamemasa? So the heat coming from the bottom compartment makes it into a mosif hevel. And even after you take out the coals, it still heats up the water on Shabbos. And as we said before, the heat is trapped because the covering over the bottom layer, the bottom tier of this antichi, and the heat is trapped. And that would support the shita that antichi is a beit dudi. It has these different compartments on the bottom, different layers, and the gecholim are in between these bottom layers. So this leads up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Amir Tzashem. We'll learn this Mishnah in the next year.